Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, my beautiful, mystical, magical, wonderful, cozy babes. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Cozy Babes Club. I know we haven't posted in over a month, and this episode is for the girls, the gays, and the theys that, like, really miss this podcast when it's not here. I'm always surprised when, I don't know why. I am always so surprised when people are like, I miss the podcast. When's it coming back? I don't know if I just like assume nobody listens to this when I know that's not true. Like, my analytics show me that it's true. The only thing I could say is like, and sorry if this is weird today, if the audio sounds weird at all, we're doing something a little different. I'll explain in a minute. But I always assume, like, I think it's because I don't have comments the way that, like, on YouTube, there's comments, right? There's comments on YouTube. On Instagram, there's comments. And I'm always able to get, like, direct feedback. And there is comments on the podcast on Spotify. Spotify allows comments. And, like, Apple technically does, like, reviews, which, like, you can only leave one, though. So on Spotify, you can leave comments, but not very many people do most of the time. But I think without that interaction happening, I just, like, assume nobody listens to the podcast. I just assume that I'm screaming into a void, even though my analytics don't show that. My analytics show me that, like, most of my episodes, depending on what it's about, like, sometimes there's, like, 2,000 people listening, which is kind of a lot. Like, yeah, of course, it's not, like, we didn't hit that, like, million mark last year, but 2,000 people is a lot of people for one episode, especially when I expect that nobody listens. So I don't know. I think actually, truthfully, it's kind of better this way. It's, if you don't create and you're somebody that just listens to creators, which is totally fine. I think everybody should create, but not everybody should monetize what they create. And not because you're not creating something that's valuable, but because it is a sickness of its own kind. We're going to get into that today too. But I think it's kind of healthier for me in a weird way to think of it like nobody listens. Not because I don't want people to listen, but I think, okay, let's, this episode, like I said, it's for the girls, the gays, and the theys that really miss this podcast and just, like, want to know how I'm doing, want to know what's going on. Maybe you need to feel seen and validated because you're going through similar things. And I just want to be that voice for you today. I just want you to know that you're not alone. And, you know, I think I've taken a huge break from the podcast because, well, it started out, I have no notes today. So it's going to be very ADHD. The ADHD will be ADHDing in this entire episode. And there was also no intro because I'm shooting this from a different location and with a different microphone. And yeah, it's a whole thing. But first, I was streaming, which many of y'all know from previous episodes. I was streaming on Twitch for 33 days in a row, and that was really good. That was, like, such a great experience. I'm so proud of myself for doing that. I did not miss a single day, and I loved what I was doing, right? It was great. Do I think I could do another 33 days like that or stream every day forever? No. Terrible for my mental health. I needed breaks. But it showed me, while I have been struggling mentally, that I am capable of showing up for something every single day, even when I don't want to. And though I think sometimes that can lead to burnout and we need to be careful, sometimes it's also just valuable to show yourself that you can. Because a lot of us are living, myself included here, by the ideology of, like, past stories that we've been telling ourselves about ourselves, you know? And if you're like me, sometimes mentally that puts you in a really bad place where you start to believe all the bullshit things that your brain throws at you. and you think you're not capable of doing anything. So it was good for me because it showed me that I was capable of showing up for something over and over and over again. And that kind of gave me the confidence to try new things, which is good, very healthy. But there were also some days where I really did not want to stream, and my attitude definitely came through in that. And I think that every day is definitely too much. Every day is definitely too much. I do not recommend streaming every single day, but it served a purpose, and it served the purpose I needed it to. Anyways, I didn't intend to stop podcasting at any point in time. I was like, no, we're just going to keep going. In fact, I have recorded probably about 4 episodes, had them rendered, had them scheduled, and I have deleted them because my own imposter syndrome has been getting in my head. My mental health during Aries season was horrible. Like, probably some of the worst times I've had since like 2021. Which 2021, we don't even talk about her. That was like the year of the worst mental health crisis I've ever had. Literally the worst year of my life. I don't even like to think on 2021. That's like the Voldemort in my life. That is she who must not be named. Okay. That was like, came in like a wrecking ball for my life. Mental health was really bad during Aries season though. And yes, we could say that, because get you a bitch that blames everything on the planets, okay? We could say that it's because Mercury was in the microwave. We could say it was because it was eclipse season. There were a lot of hard astrological aspects that came up. And I definitely think that that played heavily into me, of course. But I just had like a really hard Aries season, period. Like, y'all already know that earlier this year I struggled with panic attacks again. And I haven't been panicking, which is good, but I definitely feel like it has caused generalized anxiety again. And right now, I hope you were ready for an emotional time on this episode today. Not because I think I'm going to be emotional, but I feel like there's just like a lot of bullshit that I need to talk about, and I'm just going to talk about it here. So I would be in therapy, but currently there's problems with my insurance, that there was like one form that didn't get filed that nobody knew was supposed to be filed. Myself or my husband knew that didn't know that we'd missed something during open enrollment last year. So now I have to wait. I have to wait to be insured because I live in America. Fuck. I have to wait until open enrollment this year, which happens in like November, I think. And then I will have insurance in January. I have cried so many times about this. You have no idea. And I'm going to talk about something really personal today that I've never talked about. Well, I talked about it on Twitch to an audience of like 18 people. And I've never publicly voiced this anywhere else. But my husband and I really want to start a family. For the first time in my adult life, I really would like to have a child. And this year, as many of you know, if you've been a longtime listener, I really wanted to push towards hormone health because I recognize that I don't menstruate every single month because I have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I know in order to get pregnant, I need to be menstruating. I need to be ovulating. Things need to be happening. And so my goal for this year was to sort out the hormones. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be insured come March. My insurance will kick in. And I'm finally going to be able to go and start getting the help that I need to get the ball rolling. And I hadn't mentioned any of this because it was new. It was a new, I literally never thought, you know, if you've listened to me for years, you know that I've been child-free by choice for a very long time. I spent all of my 20s saying that I would never have children because I didn't want them. And I think that I still support also anybody out there that doesn't want children. I think children are such a huge undertaking. And most adults don't actually think about the implications of what that means before actually making that kind of choice. And I don't think that's every adult. I think there are plenty of loving adults out there that do take the time to really think about it and really understand it before getting into it. But I think that, you know, one of my biggest qualms with the world is parents that don't know how to emotionally regulate and then have like a million kids when they shouldn't have. There are so many people that should not be parents on the face of this planet. And I don't know if there's truly any good reason to have children. These are like things that I've struggled with, thoughts that I've struggled with, you know, like in the economic crisis that we're in, is it smart to bring another life into the world? With the way our climate is, you know, our not political climate, like literally the climate of the earth, is it smart to bring more life in? I don't think there's any good real reason. And I think that that's something that humanity needs to be okay with, is that having children is kind of selfish in its own way. And there is an amount of selfishness that you have to be okay with when you decide you want to do that. But ultimately, I'm not here to be the spokesperson for this. I'm not here to get into political debates. And I'm not like, that's not why I do anything that I do online. And I'm not even talking about any of this because I expect support or I expect people to be haters. I mean, people are people and they're going to do what they want, but do and say what they want. But ultimately, I think what really hit me, if anybody's curious about how I went from saying I never wanted children to going to really wanting children badly, I think what happened, at least if I could give words or a voice to what happened, and I don't think that this is everybody's story. I need to make that so clear. I think that there are plenty of people out there that don't want children and will never have children because they don't want them, and that's valid. And I think that that's a wise decision. I respect that decision. But I also think there are people that really want children and they should have children. Like, you know, I think that there's no wrong or right answer here, but I think this is something that I want to share because I think there are a lot of people that are in the same boat as me, that maybe you are somebody that questions it. And so you want to hear my take. So I'm going to give you my take. Again, this is going to be the most ADHD episode ever. We're going to talk about so many things. But basically what had happened was, it was like the fall of last year. So I've sat on this for a while. This is not something that like last week I decided I just wanted to have a baby. In fact, this might have been more like summer of last year. I want to say it was like kind of getting into the fall though. Like it was like late summer of last year. I don't know what it was. I can't say that it was like a moment in time or if it just like, I don't know if it was like a moment of enlightenment that I had. And I say enlightenment with big air quotes because I don't think you need to want to get pregnant to be enlightened. But I realized that a big part of the reason, there are several reasons that I've always stated I don't want children. Number one, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I have so many friends that have struggled with infertility right now. And I didn't want to be one of those people. And I don't say that to be offensive. I say that because I saw how much they hurt and I didn't want to hurt like that. And that process is gruesome and heartbreaking. And I've always tried to be a support system for the women in my life that have struggled in that way. And I myself did not want to subject myself to that same pain. So there was number one. Number two, I've always said that I didn't want children because I didn't want the responsibility of children. I've always thought that I would just travel the world. I would be with my husband. We have our cats. Eventually, we'll probably have a dog at some point. You know, that sounded like a good life to me. And I couldn't imagine giving my time to someone else. You also have to remember that I have spent all of my adult life basically dissecting my dysfunctional family and trying to understand like the root cause of a lot of hardship and a lot of abuse, a huge long history of abuse on both sides of my family, and why there is so much addiction riddled through my family, and why like I have spent literally all of my adult life sifting through that and trying to understand it and also walking away from it and choosing to be solitary, choosing not to live by my family, choosing to move away on purpose because I wanted to build a life that wasn't like anything that anybody there had seen. And I think in some ways, it was almost like cutting off my nose despite my face. In some ways, I think I just wanted to be rebellious for rebellious's sake. And I don't think it's wrong to do what I did. I think plenty of people do it. But I feel like now I've had so many full circle moments of having such deep compassion for the people that my parents are, for all the hardships that they've had to endure, for all the choices that they've had to make. And there's my phone dinging at me. I'm going to turn her on silent. I love my parents. At the end of the day, they're not gods. They're just people. And even though their choices impacted my life in ways that sometimes I wish I never had to deal with the things that I've had to deal with, and it is their fault, I can't sit here and keep pushing that blame. Eventually I have to stand up and say, okay, this is the subset of shit that I've been given. Them validating my experience isn't going to fix it, and they're not going to give me that anyways. So how can I choose to live my life in my own accordance? And I've spent all of my adult life doing that. And I live a great life. Like, if I could be honest, I don't have a bad life. I work as little or as much as I want to for the most part. Yes, being an independent creator has definitely led to its own slew of financial problems throughout my adult life. And those are things that I hope someday I can solve that problem, because it sucks. It's led me through a lot of really traumatizing financial problems. But I feel like, anyways, I'm trying to get to a point here. It's that I had this like moment where I realized that if I could have myself, okay, me, Chloe Taylor, at 32 years old, almost 33 right now, if I could have myself as the parent of a younger me, if I could have what I have right now, if I could give that to like the child version of me, oh my God, isn't that amazing? And then I also thought, wow, what if like knowing what I know right now, I could be a parent to a 32-year-old, and what kind of relationship would we have? Because when I thought about having kids, I always thought about like the infant and the baby stage where they're still learning everything and it's frustrating and their emotions are really big and you have to be the one to emotionally regulate and be there. And yes, I know that having kids is going to test the ever loving fuck out of me. There are things that I am not prepared for, and I know that I will never be prepared. Nobody is ever truly prepared to be a parent, I don't think. However, something I realized is that I have that kind of love to give. I have that kind of attention to give. I have the time and the space and the tools and the knowledge. And if I don't have something, I know where to get it. And the only thing I'm honestly missing, I feel like, is a village. I don't have a village. I think most moms, mothers don't have villages right now. We're living in really weird times. And that has also been a huge hardship for me, as I've learned to have more compassion for my family, and I don't treat them like people that are so terrible and I'm better somehow because I chose a different path. I've had to recognize that, like, yo, that's my village. That's my village, and I chose to separate from the village. What the fuck was I thinking? Like, I'm not going back. Don't get me wrong. I don't think you could pay me to live in California at this point, especially with the way the economy is right now. I don't think you could pay me to go back there. I don't know. I try never to say never, but I don't have a village, and that's a little bit scary thinking about having children. But, and I say children because I don't really know if I want more than one, and I won't know until I have one. But I think about, I used to say one and done. If I ever had any, I would say, okay, but it's going to be one and done, because as a child, I always wanted to be an only child. I'm not going to lie to you about it. I love my siblings. I wouldn't trade a single one of them for anything. But growing up with that many siblings and not having the time and attention from my parents that I wish that I had, I remember as a kid being very, I would tell my parents to their faces, like, I could have been an only child and I would have been fine with it. So I've always said, like, I just want one and done. But then I think about the relationships that I have with my siblings now, which is amazing. And my siblings are like some of my best friends. I want my child to have that. So I sometimes think that I might want like two. Anyways, I won't know that until I have one to know if I want another one. But point is, that's been a huge heartbreaking thing for me to deal with this year. This year, I really thought was going to be the year that I was going to get my hormones in order. And by the end of this year, I really thought that I would be in, like, by the fall, I was hoping that we would be in a position to be trying to get pregnant. And that is not going to be the case. It's just not. It's not going to be the case. And I have to do what I can for my body with the information and the tools and the knowledge I have right now. But because I live in America, it's just not the reality. And I'm not willing to get pregnant without health insurance. That's stupid. That's crazy in this country. Like, I will be paying for that for the rest of my life. And I've already accrued such serious medical debt in my life one time before, and like have been through the trauma of that, of having wages garnished and having problems because of that. So having my credit be tanked in my early adult life, and only in my 30s have I been able to start climbing out of that. So I will never put myself through that ever again, because it literally destroyed my life. So medical debt, go figure, which now they can't even do that anymore. They, like, in America, I don't know if it's like an America thing, but I think so, that they can't use medical debt against your credit anymore, which I think is cool. But yeah, anyways, so that's been very hard. I have cried a lot about that. That has been really hard. And some of y'all might be saying, like, what about Medicaid, or paying out of pocket? Right now, paying out of pocket is out of the question. It's so costly. Like, it would cost more than my car payment just to insure myself. And that wouldn't even be with good insurance. So that's out of the question. Medicaid is still possibly an option, but I find that when you go, and it's unfortunate, I'm grateful that we have these programs to help people, but the problem is when you go into something that is funded, oftentimes you don't get to choose. And when it comes to how I feel about health and wellness, with all of the things that I know, because I've been to school at least for nutrition, and I know a lot about autoimmune diseases as well, because I had an emphasis on that with my certificate, there isn't enough. I just don't trust. I don't trust the medical system that would be given to me. I need both. I need wellness, and I also need Western medicine. And if I had been insured by now, there was already a place that I had vetted that was going to do it all. So I'm just sad that my plans had to be put on hold. And, like, you know, I know that everything is always working out for me, and it's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. I know that things will be okay. Everything is always working out for me. Everything is always divinely timed. And if I was supposed to do that this year, that's what would have happened. But it just still has been hard to accept that. It's been hard to accept that, like, that's not what we're doing this year. So there's that. The other thing is, as I stated before, been struggling with my mental health pretty badly. It got, like, better, and then it got really bad during Aries season. And I think retrogrades had part to do with that. But, like, to the point that I had a couple panic attacks, like, in the car, and then I was afraid to be in the car for a little bit. I'm better. I've been able to get back in the car. But, like, I feel like I've just been, it's just been, I don't think there is, like, a root cause. I don't. And I'm somebody that, like, loves parts work, and I love, like, going a layer deeper, right? But I feel like this in particular, there is nothing deeper about it. There is nothing. I honestly think the only reason I have had anxiety and have felt panicky is because of an anxious mind. literally, because I hate to say it, but for myself, I will speak for myself, anxiety often begets anxiety because you start to become afraid of the anxiety. You start to become afraid of fear itself. You start to become afraid of the panic attacks, and you'll just keep yourself there. So the things that have been helping me, because I'm uninsured, so I'm not in therapy, are I've been using the DARE app. It's like DARE, Panic and Anxiety. That one is amazing. Love, can't recommend that app enough. I actually paid for it for the year because I feel like it's worth it. That has helped me more than any other tool that I have. And also just like really slowing down. Like I'm in my girl Moss era. I girl boss too close to the sun for 14 years of my life. And now I'm girl mossing. I'm no longer girl bossing. I am girl mossing. And all that means is I am becoming moss on a tree. I am slowing down so much that I am literally taking my life one day at a time. There is no, oh, I'm planning this. Oh, I'm planning that. Oh, this is my next move. Oh, I'm going here. Oh, like, no, that doesn't exist in my life right now. It's, I wake up in the morning and it is such a privilege to get to do what I do. And I recognize that. I wake up in the morning and I say, what would make me feel good? What would make my body feel grounded and safe? What can I do that is going to serve me the best today? And then I follow that. And some days it is go in my office and make things. Very rarely, I won't lie to you about it. I have not really wanted to be in my office at all. I've spent a lot of time in bed. I listened to Taylor Swift's new album and cried for like 3 days. I'm in a wonderful, amazing, supportive, kind, loving relationship right now with my husband of 16 years. Well, 11 years married, but 16 together. You know, I'm in a fantastic relationship, but that does not mean the Taylor Swift blues cannot get us down, bitch. I was down bad crying at the gym. But you know what's interesting? One of my best friends in the whole world pointed this out to me. I was telling her that I'd been feeling anxious and panicky and like dipping into like feeling depressed. And she was like, well, Chloe, like, tell me what's been going on. And she mentioned something to me, and I think she was so on the money with it. She was like, Chloe, you've been through so much. Like, since 2021, when your mental health took a downturn, you have moved twice. That's already huge. Moving is something that, like, did you know psychologically, moving is such a big deal that they classify it as, like, something, I don't remember what it's called, but like, it's like a major life event. It is considered something so major that like, it qualifies you for extra help, basically. Like, it is considered as bad as death. It is considered, I want to say by like psychological or like mental health professionals, it is considered to be like a very disorienting experience. And it is. And, you know, I've been through that. I've also been through like my mother getting diagnosed with breast cancer and going through chemo. And my dad has had his own slew of health problems. And my parents are old, like they're in their 70s. And I'm not there. I'm not with my village. I'm not there to support them, to take them to those appointments, to, I don't know why I'm starting to cry about it. I'm sorry. I never thought in my 20s, I used to like joke about the fact that, you know, there's 6 siblings that I have that are older than me because I'm the baby. I used to joke that like the responsibility of caring for my parents in their old age was never going to fall on me because like there were so many older siblings that were going to handle it. That's not my job. Like, I'm just here to be charming and be everybody's favorite. Because that really, like, if you have siblings and you're the youngest, you know what I'm talking about. The youngest sibling is the charmer. Like, everybody loves the baby. I don't care what you say. Like, I don't know any family where the baby is not the favorite. Everybody loves the baby. It is what it is. Maybe that's toxic. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but that's how it is in my family and other families that I've met. It probably shouldn't be that way. If we all had families that were functional, we probably wouldn't do that. But like, I used to joke about that. And now at the ripe age of almost 33, it's heartbreaking. I hate it. I hate the fact that I have lived where I have lived and my parents haven't visited once yet. And mostly I think it's because of the economy and because they've been down. Like they've been sick or, you know, having treatments for illnesses or, I mean, cancer is not an illness. It's, I mean, is it, what is cancer even classified as? A disease, an illness? I'm not even sure. Anyways, that's been really hard. Just like, I know my parents aren't like dying. I mean, they are, we're all dying, but it just, I feel like I can see the end and it's been really hard for me as someone that has done so much work around dissecting the dysfunction in my family and choosing not to participate, choosing a different life path, choosing to go in a different direction. It's been really hard for me to basically sit with the consequences of my actions, sit with the consequences of now I live, you know, over 1,000 miles away and I can't just be there to give the love and compassion that I have. I can't just take my mom to go get her nails done. I can't just, you know, make sure that my dad's eating. I can't. I don't know why that like breaks me so much, but I never could have seen that coming ever. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I was going to be somebody that was going to care that much. Truly. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I just don't really think I thought about it. And now that I'm in it, it's also complex because these are two people that made choices that me as an adult doesn't really agree with all those choices. I see where they caused a lot of harm in my family and why a lot of my siblings struggle with addiction because of the choices that these two people made. And that sucks, but it doesn't give me any less grace or compassion for them. So that's been a really difficult turn of events as well. I've had a lot on my shoulders. Like my husband also in February, I think I talked about this, was in the hospital because he had COVID and he has asthma and it knocked him on his ass. Like he was in the ICU and I was with him every day, but it was scary. Like there was a couple of days where he was making no improvements and I was in like this tiny little confined room with him and that does something to someone's brain. I don't care what anybody says. Like it messed me up mentally. And I had a panic attack while I was in there with him. And I wasn't allowed to leave the room either because he was a COVID case. They don't just let people come in and out of the room constantly. Like if I wanted something, I had to ask the staff for it. So I was also confined to the room with him unless I was going to go home for the day, which I very rarely did. I usually just stayed with him and slept there. But like, that was also a really hard experience to go through. And I feel like 2024, I try not to label years. I try not to be that bitch that's like, well, 2024 sucks. Let's just get on with it. Hope 2025 is better because it's way too early in the year. But like, y'all, in like 2 weeks, I'm going to be 33 and I'm fucking devastated. Like, I know that I haven't experienced my happiest days yet. I know I haven't met every person that's going to love me yet. I know that I have so many more things left to do here. I'm not trying to off myself. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not there. Like, don't worry about that. I promise. But, like, I'm just like, damn, like, if this is what life is like right now and, like, I know it's not always going to be this way, but things just kind of have been really hard. I've just dealt with a lot of hard things this year. And there's also been like, I've needed rental assistance this year and that's been really hard to deal with. And especially as I feel like I'm not burnt out when it comes to creating. I love to create. I love to make things. I love making videos. I love making podcasts. I'm a creative person. It's what I do. It is how I sing my own authentic song. I love what I do. It's not that. I am burnt out on the hustle. I am burnt out on the, you got to be a part of every platform. I am burnt out on promoting and marketing myself. I am burnt out on selling myself. I am burnt out on trying to find sponsorships for my channel. And then also hearing from people in the comments that they don't like watching my videos because, oh my God, I put an ad in my fucking video. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I'm not burnt out from creating. I'm burnt out from the hustle culture behind it. And I'm just in like a really weird place right now. And if 33 is going to be the way that 32 has gone, like, fuck, I don't think I could do another year like this. I feel like a lot of the things that I have good news too for this episode. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. I'm sorry that, like, I feel like I'm like trauma dumping right now, but I'm probably going to have to title this episode like trauma dumping. Chloe trauma dumps for an hour. But something else this year that I just recently realized, because I've been going through it, I'm the fucking goo, man. Like, you know how I've talked about this on so many of my pick-a-cards, but like, you know how butterflies, they're caterpillars, right? And then they go into their cocoon and they become the goo and they literally fucking dissolve before they build their like butterfly self and then they fly out. I'm the goo right now, okay? I'm not a caterpillar. I'm not a butterfly. I am the fucking goo. And I'm just being goo in my bed. I feel like it has been difficult to like wash my clothes and brush my teeth lately. And I'm doing it. I'm still getting up and doing it. And there, like I said, I do have some positive updates for this episode. But one more thing before we get to that is I was looking at my vision board for this year recently. And in this vision board, I think the thing that like breaks my heart the most is in everything that I envisioned for my life this year, some of it has already happened, which is really cool, but I didn't envision that I would be alone. I didn't envision that 90% of my life I would spend by myself. And like, it's not my husband's job to be like the only person I see all the time, right? Like, he works, he has a full-time job. So I'm just alone, like a lot. And a past version of me loved this. In my 20s, I loved to be alone. I loved being my own best friend. I loved spending countless hours creating. I was annoyed if people bothered me. Like, I was so in it. I wanted to build empires and create everything. And it was fun. And now everything that's on my vision board, it's like stuff that I want with other people. Like, I have, for example, I have this couch on my vision board. I want to get a recliner couch for my living room. And I thought about it and I was like, what purpose does that even serve? Like, I don't want to sit by myself on this couch and watch movies every night. I want to sit with my husband. I want to have my girl gang that doesn't currently exist right now. I want to have my girl gang sit in my living room with me. And even though I don't watch the fucking Bachelor right now, I would watch the Bachelor if a bunch of other girls wanted to talk about it with me. I feel like so many things on my vision board, I want them because I want the community that comes with them. I want the group of friends that comes with those things. And I didn't envision a life where I would have so much time by myself. And like, don't get me wrong, family visits and friend visits and phone calls are so great. And I'm so lucky and I'm so blessed that I have access to things that even my ancestors did not. But it's not the same. Like, I'm not looking for someone to visit me and meet a show around town for a week. I want to be able to call someone up and say, hey, I need to go to the grocery store. Do you want to come? Do you need groceries? I want to call up my girl gang and be like, yo, on Thursday, I'm going to go get my nails done. Do you need to get your nails done? Do you want to come? I'm looking for that. I'm looking for like, just, and I've been doing it by myself for so long. you know, I know that there are other people out there that get it. I know that I'm not alone in this. So that's been really disheartening as well. I've had to like reevaluate what I actually want. And if I could say something positive, not that we need to bypass with fucking positivity, toxic positivity, we can feel how we feel and it's okay. But if I could say something nice about it, at least I know what I don't want. At least it's clear to me what actually matters to me right now. And if I could say some positive things, now that I have sat here and told you why I have not been podcasting, how fucking low my ass has been feeling, and why things have not been great, let me tell you some things that have been great. So first and foremost, I'm going to say this once and then I'm going to do my best not to say it again, at least in this episode. I'm on my weight loss journey. I know weight loss is such a taboo subject in today's world where I feel like if you talk about weight loss, suddenly you don't love yourself anymore. And that's not true. I love myself, but I also would like to not weigh as much as I currently do. And ultimately that is because it messes with my range of mobility. Like I hold all of my weight in my breasts and in my stomach. I'm an apple-shaped girly. I have no butt and no thighs, but all of it is like in my front. And it's hard for me to put socks on. It's hard for me to tie my shoes. And I don't like that. I want to be as flexible and as mobile as I can for as long as I can, especially seeing the decline of my own parents. Like when I get to be their age, I want to be like swimming aerobics with all my old lady friends, you know? I don't want to be sedentary. And I don't think, like, if that's you, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm not trying to say, like, you know, if you have weight on your body that you're happy with, I love that for you. It's not like, you know, that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. This isn't like a self-hating thing. I will not lie to you and say that vanity isn't somewhat motivating for me. I think most people that want to lose weight, there is some level of vanity in there. But I've been on my weight loss journey and I'm so proud of myself. I've actually been very consistent and I've lost like 12 pounds so far since February. So March and April. Well, it was like the end of February. So March and April, I've lost 12 pounds. And as somebody with PCOS, y'all know how hard that is. Weight loss is even harder, I feel like, with PCOS, but you just kind of have to know what you're doing. It doesn't have to be hard. If you like, in my experience with my own body, I have experienced it actually being kind of easy. And I'm going to tell you how I've been doing that. So we can go in on this more in depth in a future episode because this shit is really interesting to me. I like talking about it, but basically the one thing I've been doing that has actually helped, and I've talked about this in a previous episode, and like I said, we can go way more in depth in the future, but I've been counting my protein macro and like nothing else. So I don't like write it down. I don't track it in an app. It's not like that. But I do track my protein. I try to strive for 100 to 150 grams a day. And the reason for that is, number one, I find that if I do that, I don't spike my insulin, so I don't crash the way that I used to. So that's great. And I also have noticed that I'm not hungry, like ever. I'm never hungry and I'm never craving sugar. And the only thing I can tell you is that I've been just eating a lot of protein and it's not all meat. I do have like a protein shake. I love my collagen powder. You know what? I'm going to save that for another episode talking about like how I get all that protein in, because I think when you say that to somebody that doesn't eat that way, that sounds crazy. That sounds like, oh my God, 100 grams sounds bananas, but 150, what the fuck? Honestly, like today, for example, I haven't even had dinner yet and I've already had 80 grams and it was easy. I feel like I didn't even have to think about it. So I find it to be like very, very, very easy. Especially if you like know what to eat and what to look for. So that's the only macro I've been keeping track of. I strive for like 30 to 40 grams per meal, and that's it. I don't look at carbs. I don't look at sugar. I don't look at fat. I just have been focusing on high protein foods, and I'm not keto. I'm not carnivore. I don't do any of that. I eat for Chloe. I'm Chloe Taylor. Like, because I'm Chloe Taylor, okay? It's like, because I'm Chuck Bass, because I'm Chloe Taylor. I don't have there is no word for the diet, the way that I eat. I'm just eating what feels right. And if there's a day where I don't get that level of protein in, I don't care. Like, that's fine. I would say it's like 80-20. Most of the time I do eat that way and I feel really good. So we'll save, like I said, the breakdown of that for another episode. And that's been really awesome. I'm really proud of myself. That's been going extremely well. The other thing, I have an update on the friendship department, and I'm very happy with how things are going. So I haven't met my girl gang yet, but I haven't met those people yet. But I recently signed up at a gym. And honestly, I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I'm such a dumbass. Not really. I love myself. But I don't know why I didn't think of this before. But if you want to meet other people that are really into wellness, why would you not look for them at the gym? That's like so obvious. I'm so stupid. I don't know why that was not obvious to me, but it's so obvious. So I do have to drive a little bit to get to the gym that I like going to, because I wanted one that had water aerobics classes. So I joined a gym that they have a pool, they have a water aerobics every day. I don't go every day because I'm a one car family right now, and the car and my husband's job, it doesn't always work out, but I try to go at least a minimum of 3 days a week. I just started, so it's only been about a week, but y'all, I might cry when I tell you this story because it was so touching. So I went to this class for the first time last week, and remember how like before when I talked about friends and then I kind of updated you on the situation, I had a bad experience when I tried to go out of my comfort zone and meet people. This was the opposite of that. I had the best experience. So I went to this class. Not only was the class fucking phenomenal. I'm so mad that all of the fitness bitches were right. Bitches lovingly. All the fitness bitches were right. You have to find the workout that you love and you'll do it. I love water aerobics and I always have. I am obsessed with water aerobics. I love water aerobics so much that it is my long-term plan in my life to eventually, in my older age, become a water aerobics instructor. Like, I love water aerobics. So you got to find the thing that you actually love that doesn't feel like punishment and do that thing. But I go to this class for the first one. This lady, this sweet lady, Linda is her name. Shout out to you, Linda. She doesn't know I have a podcast or anything about me, but fucking Linda, you're amazing. This sweet lady, Linda, probably in like her 70s, 80s, like everybody in water aerobics for the most part is older, like, and that's fine. I don't care. We try not to subscribe to ageism in this podcast. So I don't mind that. I mean, the last class I went to had a wide array of people. There were people from like every generation there, I felt like. But the first class I went to was a lot of older ladies. And this sweet lady, what a fucking angel, okay? She says, "Hi, I'm Linda." And I said, "Hi, I'm Chloe." And we're in the pool, right? My husband also went with me to this class, which I thought was really cool of him. And I was like, she just like talked to me. I don't even remember what we talked about. Like, you know what that saying, people won't remember what you said. They just remember how that you made them feel. I don't remember what we talked about, but she made me feel so welcomed. She fellowshipped the fuck out of me and even like turned around to some of the other ladies. And she was like, "Ladies, this is Chloe, da da da." Everybody said hi. She introduced me to some of her closer friends in the class. She said that they are all like pretty tight knit. Like all the ladies kind of know each other. And she wanted me to like be a part of that. And And then even when I told her at the end of class, like, I was like, yeah, I'm really trying to make this a regular thing. Like, I'll see you at more classes. She was like, oh my gosh, everyone, did you hear that? Chloe's going to keep coming back. Like, it was just so, it was such a polarizing experience from the experience I had. And like, you know what really gets me, y'all? And I'm just going to say it. I spoke really kind of tight-lipped last time about the experience I had when I tried to make friends before. The experience I had when I tried to go and make friends previously, when I like got out of my comfort zone, it was like for this meeting where the people were doing, it was for women. It was for women like trying to like find their voices and amplify female voices. And like, you know, the female voice is so important. And I was like, oh my God, something in the middle of the day that's for women. This is where I'm going to find my girl gang. And I felt like every conversation I had with people in that room was like all about my age and how young I was. And I felt like so off put. And even when I like, I don't even want to talk, like, I don't think I gave y'all the full story, so we can save that for another episode because this episode's already getting long. But like, my first encounter of trying to make friends in this area was rough. I went home crying. Like, I don't know if I told y'all about that, but I did. I went home in tears. Like, it was a bad experience. And so this experience, polarizing, completely the opposite. I had such a good time. When I went back for the next class, Linda was there again. She hung out with me. She talked to me. She told me more about herself. She introduced me to more people. I have felt so fucking welcomed. And I'm going to keep going back. I'm going back on Monday. I love it. It makes me so happy. In the water, I feel so good. I feel so happy. I'm doing this fucking workout. My face is sweating. My body's not because I'm in the water. And like, it feels correct, y'all. So that's where I'm at right now. That's where I've been. My husband just pulled up in the driveway and I'm in my bed right now recording this. So I'm going to cut this episode off right here, but thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for holding the space. I know this episode was a lot. I just wanted y'all to know, honestly, authentically, where the hell I've been. I don't know if I'm going to keep updating the podcast weekly right now. I'm just kind of going through a lot and I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm not worried about me. I'm really not. Like, I know I'm going to be okay. I know I will make a recovery. I know that there is a light on the other side of this. I will make it through this forest. I will be able to tell the forest from the trees again. But right now, life just feels kind of dense and heavy and hard. And I know that I'll be smiling again. I have so many more things to tell you about that. Like, I just recently started working with Apollo as like a deity. So yeah, I have so many more things to tell you, but this was just kind of like the catch-up episode. So I love y'all so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please do not forget, when you stand on your own authenticity, you empower everyone around you to do the same. Check out my course if you want it. It's still $167 off. Link down below for that. And find me everywhere around the web. Everything's in the description. I'll talk to you again probably next week, to be honest. We'll probably talk again next week. All right, bye.